lesson is Acts chapter 20, beginning with the 17th verse. Now from Miletus he sent Ephesus, and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot on Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How did it not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life for any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has you in the hope made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that there 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our primary text for today, this fourth Sunday of Easter, known as Good Shepherd Sunday, are the first lesson from Acts 20 and the gospel lesson from St. John 10. The title of the sermon is The Shepherd's Hands. Our good Heavenly Father holds us secure in his strong hands by those he has sent to us so that we may be his eternal sheep. Now, what believer in Jesus Christ doesn't love that image of the Good Shepherd? It's a rhetorical question because we all love it, don't we? And every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we hear a portion of Jesus' Good Shepherd discourse from St. John 10. Now that metaphor of a flock of sheep, that's us, the people of God, being led, protected, guided, cared for, and preserved by a loving and diligent shepherd, that is God, this has provided peace and comfort to countless souls over the years. There's a reason that we read the 23rd Psalm often. We particularly hear it in times of distress and oftentimes at funerals. And that is because it is very comforting to us to know that we have a good shepherd, one who leads us, guides us, and protects us. Because when those storms come in life, and they do come, we know that we are not in control. We feel maybe helpless to do anything about the situation. But we have the Lord's promise that He is in control. That He is indeed our shepherd and we are His sheep. We sang that hymn of the day. Perhaps you've known that song since childhood. He's got the whole world in His hands. We say He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. And God sends people that He puts in positions of authority and leadership to teach, guide, and protect us. Now the first person, or actually group of people, that we want to examine today is pastors. And in fact, that word pastor derives from the word shepherd. So the word pastor literally means a shepherd. A pastor is an under-shepherd of God who has been given the responsibility and the privilege to carry out the work of God through the office of the holy ministry in the context of a local congregation. That would be a basic definition of what a pastor is. And in our first lesson from Acts chapter 20, we see that St. Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to them as he prepares to depart from them. And you can really hear Paul's heart for the people in his words there. So no doubt in the church at Ephesus, there were those that were feeling distress. Because the one who had first brought them the gospel message and had been with them for a long time, he is now about to leave. So what would become of them? What would become of the church there? But even though God was calling the Apostle Paul to go forth to a new area, because there was still ministry to be done, there were still new souls that needed to hear about the gospel of Jesus, even though he was leading them, God was not. The text uses the word elders in verse 17 and the word overseers in verse 28. This would be the equivalent of what we call pastors today. And Paul's words are specifically addressed to these leaders of the church at Ephesus. The pastors have a solemn yet joyful calling. They publicly preach the word of God and administer the sacraments. As with St. Paul, we are testifying both to Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21. And to not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God, verse 27. Pastors care for the flock of the Good Shepherd as his representative. They speak the word of the Lord. They pronounce the words of forgiveness in the stead by the command, by the authority of God and the words of the absolution. They speak the words of Jesus and the words of institution as they oversee the distribution of God's grace in His very body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. So a good shepherd, a good local pastor, works for Jesus. A pastor works for Jesus and serves the people of the congregation that have been entrusted to His care. And I can tell you from personal experience, it's not always easy. Now, I do have to say, though, that y'all make it pretty easy here. Y'all are a pretty good group of folks to shepherd. But it isn't always easy. Because there's a lot of hours that have to go into preparing studies and sermons and all manners of church work. Our schedules as pastors have to be flexible. Because crisis and death, it doesn't happen at a time that's been written down in your calendar. And, of course, in churches there are conflicts that arise that have to be addressed. So pastors have a pretty big job. But at the same time, I can also attest that it is a very joyful thing to serve the Lord and the people of God. So a shepherd guides and cares for the sheep. But as I mentioned with the children's sermon, they also protect. And Acts 20 tells us about this as well, as does Jesus in the Good Shepherd Discourse. If you read all of John 10, we just got a portion of it today. But St. Paul, no surprise here, he's very upfront in speaking to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. Verses 30 and 31, he tells them, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Now, there are certainly external threats to the church. But as our text tells us, as Jesus tells us, and as the scripture and history bears out, the greatest threats to the church, to the sheep, the people of God, have actually arisen from those inside of the flock. I mean, just ask anyone who has left one church and gone to another. There might have been an issue that arose, and it probably wasn't from someone outside the church, it was someone inside of the church. Most heresies begin by those who claim to be Christians. Remember, who was it that worked hardest to eliminate Jesus? It was the religious leaders of the time. So wolves will come. And you know what? Wolves are a lot more effective when they're dressed up like sheep. So pray for pastors as we use discernment to identify false teachers and teachings that will harm the flock. This is why a pastor of a congregation sometimes has to say no to the sheep. We might have to say, no, we're not going to do a certain thing a certain way. We're not going to sing a particular song. We're not going to use a certain Bible study material, or we're not going to participate in some kind of ecumenical activity, even though a bunch of other congregations are doing it. We may have to say no sometimes to those things because it's to protect the flock. It's to make sure that we keep the gospel of Jesus Christ pure and we don't do anything that would compromise our witness to that. So a pastor, as an under-shepherd, guides, teaches, cares for, and protects. And as I also mentioned with the children this morning, Mother's Day this year coincides with Good Shepherd Sunday. So I would join with millions of others today in saying, Happy Mother's Day. And I think that in coinciding with Good Shepherd Sunday this year, it's pretty appropriate. Because one of God's greatest gifts is motherhood. Especially having a Christian mother. So the second type of people that we want to hear about that God has sent to care for His flock would be our mothers. Of course, biology teaches us that to have life, to be conceived, to be born, you've got to have a mother. It's just a fact of science. But mothers are much more than simply agents of biological function so that the human race continues to be on this earth. They're much more than that, of course. For many people, their mother is the person that they believe they can trust more than anyone else. Their mother is that person that they can talk to and they feel like no one else is listening and no one else can understand. Their mother is the person that cared for them, cooked countless meals, taxied them all over the place, from practice to recitals to doctor's appointments. And I see some moms smiling because you know that is a big part of what you do, isn't it? Mom's taxi service. Well, mothers often go without expensive clothes and cosmetics to make sure that their kids have what they need. And not only that, we know that they make sure that we have what we want to as they go without a lot of things. So mom was there. Mom is there. And the Christian mother is imparting the truth of the scripture to her family and continually praying for her husband and children and family. While the pastor is there on Sundays, Wednesdays, and at certain key events, mom's there in the family every day. She has a front row seat to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Whether she wants to or not, she sees everything up close and personal. Self-sacrifice and caring for the sheep, this is the example that we see of the Good Shepherd. Mothers help keep us safe in the hands of God. And that mothers are so loved is attested to by the fact that many, many, many songs over the years in various genres of music have been written about mothers, haven't they? And those of you who know me know that when I use a song illustration, my go-to is often country music. So no surprise, that's where I'm going to go today. Country music has lots of great songs about mamas, really. I was listening to some of them last night at Classic Country Saturday night. They're playing a lot of songs about mothers, and people were calling in and things like that. And one of my favorite songs about mothers was released back in 1992 by a group called Confederate Railroad. And that's probably dating a little bit, because in country music you probably couldn't even have a group called Confederate today, but in the 90s they did. And the song is told from the perspective of a son who has chosen the wrong path early in his life. But now he is an older and wiser man. And he reflects on the two constant sources of love that have stuck with him through it all. And these are a few lyrics from that song. I made a wish upon a star I could have a brand new car. I got tired of wishing, so I stole one. 17 and knew it all. My dreams were big, but my thoughts were small. Isn't that true? So many roads, somehow I chose the wrong one. But then the chorus. But Jesus and Mama always loved me. Even when the devil took control, Jesus and Mama always loved me. This I know. So yes, mothers love their children, even through rebellion and our downright stupidity. Christian moms also know how to apply tough love as needed so we can learn and grow. I mean, our mamas are the ones who say, don't hang out with that crowd because they're bad news. And you've got another thing coming if you think you're leaving wearing that or staying out that late. But they keep on loving. They keep on praying that God would work to mold and shape their sons and daughters in His image. But we also must face the fact that some people don't have good Christian mothers. Maybe one's mother died during childbirth. Maybe their mother died when they were young. And truth be told, there are some mothers out there who don't really care much about their children. They care more about themselves. They're few and far between, but there are some of those out there. But even in cases of the best mothers, I mean, this is, you know, the mother you see as the example. It's true that mothers are not perfect. So God, in His wisdom and grace, has sent one other shepherd to us. The good and the best shepherd of them all. This is, of course, Jesus Christ. Now, there are cases where pastors have fallen into sin. There are cases where mothers have failed. But this shepherd always leads his flock in the right direction. He always cares for the sheep. He always protects the sheep. He always loves the sheep. And he always does perfectly the will of God the Father. So how can this be? Well, we see the answer in our gospel text from St. John 10. Jesus is asked in verse 24 there, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly," they say, as if he hadn't already done so. But they do get a direct answer. Jesus tells them that no one can pluck his sheep out of his hand. And no one can pluck his sheep out of his Father's hand, because he boldly states in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." You see, Jesus is the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd, because he is God. True man as well, but every bit true God of power, might, and glory as God the Father. Jesus' opponents certainly understood that's what Jesus was saying. Because if you read in the Bible, the very next verses tell us that they picked up stones. They wanted to put him to death for blasphemy. They certainly understood Jesus was making a claim of divinity here. Now the fact that our good shepherd is true man and true God, that's great news for all of us sheep, isn't it? Because sheep aren't the smartest animals in the world. They follow other sheep, even to their own destruction. They like to wander off from the flock, making them easy prey for wolves. So sheep left to their own devices don't fare too well. Why? Because they do what sheep do. So it is with us. Due to our sinful nature, we will often make bad decisions. We will follow the wrong crowd. We will think that, hey, we can do this all on our own. In short, we sin. We rebel against the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd still loves us. Jesus says earlier in the Good Shepherd discourse in verse 11, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And that is exactly what our Good Shepherd Jesus did. As true man, he gave his body, blood, his very life for the sins of us wayward sheep. He did that on the cross. And as true God, he defeated death. And he stepped out of that grave alive on that first Easter Sunday. And he is our good shepherd to this very day. As we close the service in a few minutes, we're going to sing the hymn, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb." And I love that hymn. And part of the words for that hymn say, "For my shepherd greatly guides me, knows my need and well provides me, loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name." This reflects what Jesus said in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me." And he said in verse 3, "The sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out." Think about that for a minute. There are 7 billion people in the world. There are billions of people who have lived. But Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. He knows you. Think about how amazing that is. The hymn also says, "And when my short life is ended, by his angel host attended, he shall fold me to his breast, there within his arms to rest." Beautiful. This reflects verses 28-29, where Jesus says, "No one can pluck his sheep out of his hand, nor the Father's." This is an important point. Our salvation rests not in our own love and strength, but in that of our good shepherd. Thanks be to God for that. God sends people like pastors and mothers to be his servants and to do his work among us. But ultimately, we are safe in the good, the perfect shepherd's hands because he holds us there. He's got you and me, brother. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. Living, powerful, and eternal hands. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. and amen.